What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How are you doing, everybody? Thanks for checking us out. We know you have a million options out there. I'm always humbled and flattered that you would choose to spend your time with us, try and get to the bottom of some of this nonsense that's going on out there in the world. Look, if you like the show, I think these podcast players all have little options there where you can click a button and share it. So feel free to do that. I appreciate it. Show's growing crazy amounts, which is a phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. I'm thrilled. I just always assumed it would be me talking to myself like a crazy person. So I'm happy that there are other people out there listening. So I want to talk in this episode about something that is extremely important, but really doesn't get the sort of recognition or play, especially in the mainstream media, that it should be. And that is the undue and massive influence of NGOs, the non-governmental organizations, these think tanks, these groups that are, if they're not running our policy, they're at least influencing the people that are running our policy. They sort of stay in the background, so to speak. Not always. They peek out from time to time, but they're never branded as the boogeyman that they truly should be branded as, because they are very dangerous. The people that are involved in them are some of the most despicable human beings on the planet. Their agenda is mostly for, I mean, it's all about control. A lot of it is geared towards one world government type stuff, like the things that the United Nations and the World Economic Forum are pushing out. Not all of it, but a fair amount of it is also geared towards perpetuating constant war. You know, whether that be directly through generals and admirals being involved in these groups, these think tank groups, or whether it's the media being involved in these think tank groups that then take the messages of the generals and push them out and start banging the drums for war, which we see constantly. So when you see something like the Syria gas attack, where Bashar al-Assad gassed his own people, you know, at the end of the war, he did the one thing towards the end of this conflict that would guarantee that the United States would get involved. He did that one thing, right? Because he's such a dummy. Well, of course, it's nonsense, and the OPCW and all that stuff. I mean, I'm not going to get into that, but that's just an example of how narrative building starts in these councils, these foundations. They role play it. They talk about it. They put people in positions of power. They get the media involved. They roll it out. They say, this is where it's going. And so if you know who these people are, then you'll be more inclined to recognize it the next time you see it. When someone's trying to lie to you about, you know, who the Atlantic Council is or something, oh, they don't really have that much influence, or they just get together and talk about policy and everything, you know, and whatever, jerk each other off, whatever they do. I mean, you know, that's what people think, if they even think about these councils at all. But let me tell you, there's a whole lot of shenanigans going on behind the scenes. This is where these things come out of. They don't originate in some newsroom at Fox or CNN. The people at Fox and CNN and MSNBC are too fucking stupid to come up with these narratives on their own. They have a hard time keeping track. They have a hard time convincing people that their weatherman is telling the truth. You know what I mean? When you've got the guy out there on the street, you know, with the hurricane blowing, and he's pretending like he's getting blown away, and then you see the two guys in the background in shorts that are walking by totally normal. That's kicking CNN's ass already. You think they're sitting around crafting these great narratives and these elaborate lies? They're not. They're just regurgitating it and doing a bad job of it. So it's not coming from the media. I mean, you hear it through the media, but it's not originating with the media. They're just playing their role. So where is it coming from? Is it coming from the government? Yeah, some of it. Is it coming from the CIA? Sure. Yeah, of course. We know that. But it's also coming out in a coordinated effort through these groups. Now, you've heard of Bilderberg. I'm not even going to get into Bilderberg in this episode. I might do a whole episode on that in and of itself, just that category at some point. But this is different. This is these are more of the forward-facing, not secretive necessarily. I mean, you're not going to get membership in the Atlantic Council. So, I mean, it's secretive, and I guess in the sense that it's not open for general admission, but they're not pretending like it doesn't exist like the way they did with Bilderberg for a long, long time. So, and when you hear who's involved and what they're pushing, it'll become pretty clear to you that this is quite important. It's not something to be dismissed. It's not something that you just think that that there's no there, as Clinton would say. But there's plenty of there, and these groups, they're like a Venn diagram. You know what a Venn diagram is? I'm sure. The interlocking circles, where you've got one circle that might be the Atlantic Council, and one circle that might be Council on Foreign Relations, and one circle that might be German Marshall Fund, and you can be a member of all of those. I mean, if they invite you, of course. But it's possible to be a member of two of them or three of them. You know, so there is an interlocking circle, and what you will find is that a lot of the same swamp creatures and scumbag globalist maniacs that you hear of are in these groups and are in multiple groups. And I've got the list, not a detailed list, but I've got the list of all the names that you would recognize. So let's get into that. So let's start with the list that came out, oh, I don't know, a year ago, year and a half ago. Almost 2 years ago, Poynter Institute, remember they put out a list of 515 news sites that pushed biased, clickbaity, conspiracy, fake, satire, or unreliable information through them. You remember that, right? This group, this Poynter Institute, which is it's a nonprofit journalism school, actually, but it's sort of, it's a think tank. It's one of these groups that gets put together. It's gonna help you battle fake news by educating people about websites that traffic in fake news, biased news, and even satire. Look, if you need help figuring out satire, you know, then you probably need to develop your sense of humor a little bit better. And if you're retweeting or quoting satire as real. And I guess, to be fair, it happens from time to time. The Babylon Bee is fucking outrageous and hilarious and great at what they do. And sometimes, and I think this is sort of their point, is that sometimes the insanity that we're seeing that is real on the mainstream media is so crazy that you think it's satire. And then when the Babylon Bee puts out something that's satire, in the back of your mind, you're going, I know this is fake, but like in this current landscape, I could totally see this actually happening. I mean, I could totally, whatever it is they're pushing, you know, it's usually something funny about, they have kind of a religious slant to it, but it, you know, if satire's kicking your ass, I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, that's what Poynter Institute did. They put together this list, and there's such retards there, and that they use this list. They didn't even make up their own list. They plagiarized it from five other lists. They use factcheck.org's misinformation directory, and that was created by Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. So they used their list. They used a list called Fake News Codex, widely quoted by Snopes and others, and maintained by web developer and data designer Chris Herbert. Look, if you're getting widely quoted by Snopes, your list is garbage, but that's beside the point. Third list that they used is called Open Sources. It's run by Merrimack University Media Studies professor Melissa Zimdars, and she is a full-blown wingnut, by the way. Totally discredited. She should be in a padded room somewhere banging her head against the wall. Fourth list is PolitiFact's Fake News Almanac by PolitiFact, a joint project of Tampa Bay Times and Poynter. You know, Tampa Bay Times, that bastion of media truth and honesty. Who the fuck has ever heard of Tampa Bay Times? And I lived in Sarasota, so. Snopes, Field Guide to Fake News Sites and Hoax Purveyors, created by Snopes, the oldest and largest online fact-checking organization. Okay, you do know Snopes was run by a husband and wife that had, the husband had a penchant for hookers. I'm not making this up. It's 100% true. And left his wife for a hooker, married her, paid out his wife a settlement from the money they were getting from Snopes. By the way, and these two were running this out of their apartment or their house or wherever. This wasn't like some big building, you know, in lower Manhattan, Snopes headquarters. It's two people and their cats, and apparently his prostitutes. So he divorces the wife, marries the prostitute, and now they're running Snopes. So, you know, there's that. So anyway, Poynter Institute took these five shitty lists and combine them into one horrible list. So the index includes additional information for each site, including which of the above lists of the sites were flagged by, this doesn't even make any sense. So they're saying that these five lists were used because what they do is, they're all making their own lists of bias, clickbait, conspiracy, fake, satire, and unreliable websites. So the people at Poynter Institute decided that their contribution to shutting down fake news was to take information gathered from five totally discredited fact-checking organizations and roll them into one list of all of the websites. Update, May 3rd, 2019, 4:22 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Poynter has shut down UNnews, its database highlighting unreliable news sites, after discovering inconsistencies between sources used to build the database and its final report. After receiving complaints, Poynter conducted an audit and found, quote, found weaknesses in the methodology used to categorize 515 news sites, according to a letter from editor Barbara Allen. Quote, we regret that we failed to ensure that the data was rigorous before publication and apologize for the confusion and agitation caused by its publication. Barbara Allen, go fuck yourself all the way off, okay? Because you're lying. You don't regret that it created confusion. The whole point of the list is to create confusion. The whole point of the list is to demonize anybody that is saying anything contrary to the official narrative. So you failed to ensure the data was rigorous in before publication. You used Snopes as one of your five sources. What did you think was going to be on the list? Unless you truly don't know what you're doing, which is possible, but I really doubt that. I don't think that this was accidental in any way, shape, or form. I think it was intentional. I think the reason why they do this is to create confusion, get you to think that maybe, you know, SGT report is run by the Chinese or the Russians or something. You know, it's not, but they want you to think. So who was on the list? Who was on Poynter Institute's list? Oh, it's only the websites that you probably go to every day. I'm going to read them off and just keep like tally in your head how many of these websites you've either been on or continue to go to. And just know that they said that these are disinformation sites. All of these sites are fake news. All of them are the fakest, fakety, fake news ever. You tell me, 21st Century Wire, it's a great site. Patrick Henningsen is phenomenal at what he does. Fake news? It's more real than any news out there. Above Top Secret. Activist Post. Activist Post is phenomenal. Shout out to Michael Edwards at Activist Post. Thank you for your supporting this show and supporting my work. You guys are great. Activist Post is awesome. They have all sorts of writers that contribute there. I've written for them as well. They have great news. Fake news, of course. Just kidding. Alt-Market, Anti-War. Look, we've had Scott Horton on the Union of the Unwanted show. Fake news? Anti-War is fake news? No, it's not. Anti-War is uncomfortable truths for the establishment, but fake news? No. Breitbart? Still, not Poynter Institute's position to tell you that Breitbart is fake news. It's right-leaning, for sure. But is it all fake? No. Coast to Coast. Coast to Coast is fake news. Coast to Coast made this list. I mean, it is... Coast to Coast is legendary. If you want to see my interview, I was on Coast to Coast February 3rd, 2018. With the great Richard Serrett. Coast to Coast is fake news? Give me a break, man. They bring on all sorts of people that are talking about interesting topics. You know, Bigfoot and UFOs and the Octopus of Global Control got on there. You know, we've talked about that. Controversial? Maybe. Unusual? Sure. Absolutely unusual news. That's what makes it so goddamn great. There's millions of people that listen to that episode, to every episode. Fake news. Give me a break. Collective Evolution's on this list. Collective Evolution's really good. I like their stuff. Corbett Report. I mean, seriously? You have James Corbett on it. It's fake news, according to the Poynter Institute. I'll tell you what I'm doing with this list. There's some websites on the list that I hadn't heard of before. I'm going to go check them out now. Because if these are on the list of untrustworthy sites, what else is on the list? I must be missing some good ones out there that I should go get my information from. But don't worry, Fox News and CNN and MSNBC are not on this list. But you already knew that. Dollar Vigilante. The Dollar Vigilante. I know that guy. Wrote a book with him. Fake news? Well, I don't... Not really. Well, you get a little off track with the Shemitah stuff. But that was years ago. They're not... They're talking about actual stuff. It's preposterous. Let's keep going. Drudge Report. Interesting that Drudge Report is on this list. Must have been before they paid Drudge to go left. I bet you he wouldn't be on this list now. Gaia. Well, fake news or weird news? Gaia's weird. I mean, it's got cool, interesting stories. There's a lot of phenomenal people on there. There's some, you know, I'm not on the Corey Good train. Right, so I wouldn't associate with that. But once again, who is to say that this is fake news? Is it unusual news? Is Gaia and Coast to Coast talking about non-traditional things? Yes. That's what makes them so interesting and fascinating. But they just can't help themselves. They have to brand all that stuff fake news. That's when the only tool you have in your tool belt is to call somebody fake news, then everybody's fake news. But if it's also fake, you know, it's like calling everybody a Nazi. If everybody's a Nazi, how bad is a Nazi really? You know what I mean? It loses its punch when you do it too much. So if you have something that is legitimately fake news, but then you call Coast to Coast AM fake news as well, you're discrediting yourself. You're watering down the power of that term. I mean, the irony is that the institutes calling everybody else fake news are the fakest of the fake, but I digress. Okay, next on the list, Humans Are Free. That's a cool site. Next one, Infowars/Prison Planet. I can understand why they're going after Infowars. All right, fake news, whatever, questionable, but definitely a different slant on the news, that's for sure. IntelliHub, seriously, it's on this list? I've had Shepard and Bellis on this show. I've been on the IntelliHub show before. Look, man, they're talking about asteroids and comets and FEMA regions and shit like that. I mean, I can geek out on that stuff. Is it all true and actually happening at the precise moment that Shepard says it's going to happen? No, of course not. Not always. But you're talking about unusual topics. It's frustrating that these are all lumped in together. Liberty Blitzkrieg, Natural News. Yeah, they hate Mike Adams. Newsmax. Yeah, I'm not surprised about that one. No More Fake News, John Rappaport site. Ironic, don't you think, that the website No More Fake News is listed on the fake news list? John Rappaport is not fake news. I will tell you that. Right now, you want to get deep into the medical aspect of it, go to No More Fake News. I need to reach out to John. I would love to have him on the show. I've been following his work for many years. He's over the target, like a lot of these people are, which is why you get branded as being fake news. Off Guardian, Press TV. Yeah, I know they hate Press TV because it comes out of Iran. Project Veritas. Now, if you've listened to the John Brisson interview, you will know that James O'Keefe and from Project Veritas has some unsavory ties. But I'll tell you what, I acknowledge that and I recognize that. But anyone that's putting their foot up Jeff Zucker's ass at CNN is okay in my book, at least on that front. So am I going to throw all of James's work out because he's on some list? No, I'm not. You know, if he's working with the Council for National Policy, I don't love that. I keep my eyes on that. You know, I'd be careful because of that. But do I like what he's doing exposing Google? I do. So, you know, so we give him, you know, we keep watch on this. If he starts shilling for, you know, wars in Iran, then we'll know that the wheels have come off the Project Veritas bus. And as always, be very careful with all of these outlets just to make sure that you're getting, you know, that you're not dealing with someone that's compromised. And Project Veritas is very well known. And sometimes you have to wonder why that is. If they're shitting on the media the way they are, you have to kind of wonder. But to call them all fake news, I wouldn't call it fake news. I'd call it news that the mainstream media doesn't want to promote and doesn't want to acknowledge, but fake, not fake. Rents. Jeff Rents. I've known Jeff for a while. I've done many shows with Jeff Rents. You know, he's got his opinions on things. You know, he's not very tolerant of some of the United States relationships with our most trusted ally, you know? So I can understand why they would paint him as being fake news. But once again, he's just talking about uncomfortable truths. SGT report. I mentioned this before, you know, Sean's got his thoughts on, he skews a little to the right, you know, a lot to the right. He's been banned for that. Is he pushing fake news? Now, no, he's pushing his version of news. Now, is that fake? Is that accurate? Does it resonate with every single person? No, it does not. It never does. And it never will. None of these will. You're always going to have somebody that's going to say, I don't like that content. That's fine. Does it make it fake, though? No, not necessarily. It might not be your cup of tea, which is totally, totally reasonable and fine. You're allowed to not want to get into this. But when you start labeling it all as fake, then you've got a problem. Solari's Catherine Austin Fitz is not fake news. She's as real as it gets. Sovereign Man, Simon Black's publication. I can see why they'd want that banned. They don't want you learning how to get additional passports and set up residency in foreign countries and things like that. The Free Thought Project. Well, we've had Jason Bassler on the show before. He's the co-founder of the Free Thought Project with Matt Agarest, and they're doing phenomenal work, period, end of story. To be put on any one of these lists is a crime, man. They're doing great work. They're exposing real hardcore things that the government is doing. So it makes sense that they're on the list for political reasons, but they're not fake in any way, shape, or form. Gateway Pundit, that's kind of a right-leaning, outfit. The Mind Unleashed, is talking about really cool, interesting subjects. They should not be on this list. True Pundit, Michael Payne, Thomas Paine, Michael Moore. I like True Pundit. I like it. I mean, he's getting into some interesting topics. Truth Frequency Radio is on Poynter Institute's list of fake news. Now, if you've ever listened to my shows with Kev Baker, I go on once a month with him. I've been on with Billy Ray Valentine. I like Truth Frequency Radio. You're going to hear about some really unusual things. It's a great platform for content creators. Check it out. So the Waking Times is on this list. We Are Change. Luke Radowski's been on the show. WikiLeaks is on here. Well, WikiLeaks has got some problems. Wikipedia. WikiLeaks is phenomenal. Wikipedia, I got some problems with. Let me just clarify that. But WikiLeaks being on the Poynter Institute list, of course it will be, you know. Not because they're fake, but because they're truth. And last one that I found on here was X22 Report with Dave. I've been on the X22 Report spotlight a couple times with Dave. I like him a whole lot. They're right-leaning. He's Q. You know, he's into Q. That's fine. It's not my cup of tea. But I'm not going to shit on somebody, you know, about that. It's their version of reality. But to be put on this list by Poynter Institute, who then had to retract the list because they admitted that their methodology was flawed. Gee, you think? You brought in the least trusting news rating and fact-checking organizations, and you plagiarized their list, and then you act surprised when it all went awry. How could we have ever known that when we used part of Snopes' list to fact check this, it was going to all be wrong? But this is the strategy. You see, the headlines get all the attention. The retractions get printed on page 8 in fine print. It doesn't matter that the list got retracted after the fact for being dog shit. The damage is done. These websites are all branded with this. It ran everywhere. It was a worldwide story about fake news. It went everywhere. The retraction didn't, but the story did. And it damaged the reputation of these content creators, these websites. Now, you don't have to agree with all of them. You can think that you don't like their content, and that's fine. It's our right to feel that way. It's our right to change our mind too. It's okay if you say, I used to like Drudge Report, but now I don't. That's fine too. But to say it's all fake, it could be biased. They could have opinions that don't correlate with how you see the world. But just branding them all fake, it's lazy. And it's done by design. Before we get off Poynter Institute, let me just point out one last thing, that they received $1.3 million in new grants from the Omidyar Network and Open Society Foundations to expand their work in accountability journalism through the International Fact-Checking Network in the coming years, which is basically the Ministry of Truth from 1984. And who are Omidyar Network and Open Society Foundation? Well, Pierre Omidyar is the founder of eBay. I used to live down the street from him in Henderson, clearly not in his exact neighborhood. He bought up the whole neighborhood, built his 50,000 square foot house there. He's the financial backer of The Intercept, the news organization that Glenn Greenwald just left when they tried to censor him, when he was running it, and they tried to censor him too, which is crazy. And Open Society Foundations is George Soros' think tank. So you're in good company, Poynter Institute, with your globalist billionaire scumbags. And it reminds me of this quote from George Orwell: "In the end, we shall make thought crime literally impossible, because there will be no words in which to express it. Every concept that has ever been needed will be expressed by exactly one word, with its meaning rigidly defined and all its subsidiary meanings rubbed out and forgotten." You know who else said that they wanted a world in which there was just one answer to every question? Eric Schmidt, former chairman of Alphabet, who now runs the AI department at the Pentagon. You know, that reprehensible scumbag. He said in an interview, when you type a search question into Google, what happens? And the guy says, you get millions of results. He says, yeah, but that's a bug. You should really only get one answer. And Google wants to be in charge of that answer. So, moving on from Poynter Institute, let's get into something that is a very dangerous organization. I'm talking about the Atlantic Council. Now, the Atlantic Council was founded in 1961, and it was set up to promote public understanding and support for the policies and institutes that would build collective security and peace. Peace. The Atlantic Council is about peace, just so you know. The Atlantic Council is the public relations arm of NATO, Northern Atlantic Treaty. You know, it's the Atlantic in the Atlantic. This is Atlantic Council, Atlantic Magazine. It's NATO. When you hear these groups talking, that's who you should think of. So who are they? Like, who makes up the Atlantic Council? I mean, there's a lot of people. It's a fairly well-known group. And are they devious maniacs trying to run the world? Well, they're not going to tell you that they are. But that old saying of, you know, you will be known for who you're, you know, those who you keep in close company with. So let's look at the directors of the Atlantic Council. And you be the judge. And this is in no particular order. I'm not ranking them by how awful they are. They're all awful. That's a hint. We'll start with Michael Chertoff. You will recognize this reprehensible scumbag as the guy that let the dancing Israelis out of jail and sent them out of the country as soon as he could. Thomas Glosser is a director here. Remember him from NewsGuard? We talked about him. Not a good guy. Michael Hayden, former director of the CIA and the NSA, also one of the board of director members of NewsGuard as well. Henry Kissinger, period. The end. That's all you need to know. If Henry Kissinger is part of your group, it's a globalist scumbag organization looking for world domination with no soul. This is a guy that ordered the dropping of so many bombs on Vietnam, as well as Cambodia and Laos, which he was not allowed to do, but did anyway. To put it in context of how many bombs Henry Kissinger ordered to be dropped, take every bomb that the United States dropped during World War II in Europe and Asia. Take all the bombs that the UK dropped, all the bombs the Germans dropped, all of the bombs that the Russians dropped, all of the bombs that the Japanese dropped. Take all of the bombs that were dropped in World War II, every single one of them, multiply it by two, and that's how many bombs Henry Kissinger ordered to be dropped on Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos. Just in case you were wondering who Henry Kissinger is. H.R. McMaster is a director at the Atlantic Council. Judith Miller. Where have I heard Judith Miller's name before? Oh, yeah. She's the journalist in the Dark Winter simulation that got anthrax sent to her in the simulation, and then miraculously, 3 or 4 months later, got anthrax mailed to her in real life. Except it wasn't actually anthrax, it was just a powder. You can't kill Judith Miller with actual anthrax. She's part of the operation. You're going to need her for your Atlantic Council fuckery. She's a reporter, by the way, just so you know. Just so you get an idea of who she is. And she's either the New York Times or the Washington Post. It doesn't matter. They're the same thing. Mike Morrell is on this list. David Petraeus is on this list. Tom Ridge, he's a director at the Atlantic Council. He's also, guess what, another board member of NewsGuard. We just did an episode on NewsGuard not too long ago. Dov Zakheim, who's he? Project for a New American Century, comptroller. This guy knows where. You remember when Rumsfeld was talking about we cannot locate the $2.3 trillion in transactions? Guess who knows where they are? Dov Zakheim does. He's a dual Israeli citizen, by the way. For whatever that's worth. James Baker, Ash Carter, Robert Gates, James Mattis, Leon Panetta, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, George Shultz, James Woolsey, reprehensible reptilian scumbag extraordinaire Madeleine Albright. You'll recognize her as the person who was asked, is it worth it to the death of 500,000 Iraqi children? Is it worth it? Madeleine Albright's response is, we know this is very hard, but we think that the price is worth it. James Clapper, Mr. Not Wittingly, the worst liar, the worst poker player bluffer I've ever seen in my entire life, is James Clapper. Straight up lied to Congress. To be clear, I don't have a problem lying to Congress. But when you're under oath, it is illegal. Rupert Murdoch is a director at the Atlantic Council. Stephen Schwartzman, Blackstone Group. Larry Summers. Bob Zelick. Frank Carlucci. Frank Carlucci is one of the founders of the Carlyle Group. Carlyle Group had a very warm relationship with George H.W. Bush and the Saudis. So these are the directors that sit on the Atlantic Council. This is the swamp. This is the globalist, at least from an American standpoint. The people that are pushing forward for a one world government. These people all work for the American government, but they have no loyalty to America. Not a single one of these people has a loyalty to America. You think Colin Powell gives a flying fuck about America? Yeah, he spent 40 years in the army. What else did he do? He lied us into a war in Iraq by holding up the the yellow cake uranium thing vial. These people are trying to destroy America, not protect it. Corporate donors. Okay, so we know who the directors are of the Atlantic Council, but who's the corporate donors? Who are the people that are financing them? Who's giving them money to be associated with them? Who thinks, you know what I need in my life running this corporation? I need a better and closer association with Henry Kissinger, Michael Hayden, and Leon Panetta. Well, I'll tell you who is given money. Goldman, and it'll be zero surprise to you too. Goldman Sachs, Facebook, the Rockefeller Foundation, Airbus, Chevron, Google. Google shows up a lot, by the way. HSBC, JP Morgan, Palantir, Peter Thiel's company that's data mining everybody, Raytheon, the State Department of the United States, BP, British Petroleum, you know, British Petroleum, who blew up the Gulfwater Horizon and flooded the Gulf of Mexico with oil. Wasn't called Gulfwater Horizon, but you know what I mean. Blackstone. Well, of course, Steven Schwarzman's a director, so of course Blackstone's involved. Burisma is a corporate donor to the Atlantic Council. You shouldn't be surprised by this, right? Accenture, Dell, Lennar. I used to work for Lennar. They're a publicly traded home builder. What the fuck are you doing on the Atlantic Council's corporate donors list, Lennar? You might want to get yourself off that. Lockheed Martin. I know, you're shocked. Bank of America, Boeing, 21st Century Fox, BAE Systems, Microsoft, Atlantic Council, Microsoft, Bill Gates, Atlantic Council, Microsoft. McKinsey, NBC Universal, Washington Redskins. You want to know who's a corporate donor? A corporate donor to the Atlantic Council. Judith Miller herself. She's a paying member of this group. Viacom, the U.S. Marine Corps, Twitter, Thomson Reuters, SAIC, Penguin Random House. You know, the publishing company that cried like a bunch of bitches when Jordan Peterson got his book deal? That group. Lockheed Martin. I might have already mentioned that, but it's Lockheed Martin, so it's worth mentioning twice. Open Society Foundation. That's George Soros. George Soros his company is a corporate donor of the Atlantic Council. Once again, if you needed any reasons to be suspicious of these people, look at the company that they keep. Siemens, BlackRock, Bridgewater Associates, Northrop Grumman, ExxonMobil, General Dynamics, and that motherfucker Thomas Glosser again. He's a corporate donor. So, what do you think about Facebook's relationship with the Atlantic Council? Is that something that gives you comfort or freaks you out? Let me read to you what Facebook wrote about this, their announcement of their partnership with the Atlantic Council. This is by Katie Harbreth, Global Politics and Government Outreach Director for Facebook. Facebook is investing heavily to prevent our service from being abused during elections. Oh, this is so great. Keep in mind, this was written... God, I want to say sometime in it was May 17th, 2018. So this is announcing new election partnership with the Atlantic Council, Facebook announcing this back in May of 2018. Keep that in mind. Facebook is investing heavily to prevent our service from being abused during elections. We're doubling the number of people who work on safety and security and using technology like artificial intelligence to more effectively block fake accounts, the source of many bad ads and lots of misinformation. In addition, we're more actively working with outside experts, governments, and other companies because we know that we can't solve these challenges on our own. For example, last month we announced an independent commission to help fund and organize research into the impact of social media on society, starting with elections. Today, we're excited to launch a new partnership with the Atlantic Council, which has a stellar reputation. I swear to God they put that in there, which has a stellar reputation looking at innovative solutions to hard problems. Experts from their digital forensic research lab will work closely with our security, policy, and product teams to get Facebook real-time insights and updates on emerging threats and disinformation campaigns from around the world. This will help increase the number of eyes and ears we have working to spot potential abuse on our service, enabling us to more effectively identify gaps in our systems, preempt obstacles, and ensure that Facebook plays a positive role during elections all around the world. Facebook will also use the Atlantic Council's Digital Research Unit monitoring missions during elections and other highly sensitive moments. This will allow us to focus on a particular geographic area, monitoring for misinformation and foreign interference, and also working to help educate systems as well as civil society. Whoa, a particular geographic region. You mean like Michigan? You mean like Pennsylvania? You mean like Georgia? You mean like these particular geographic areas during the election? These highly sensitive moments? Finally, we know that tackling these problems effectively also requires the right policies and regulatory structures so that governments and companies can help prevent abuse while also ensuring people have a voice during elections. The Atlantic Council's network of leaders like Henry Kissinger is uniquely situated to help all of us think through the challenges we will face in the near and long term. This effort is part of a broader initiative to help provide credible and independent research about the role of social media in elections, as well as democracy more generally. We look forward to working together to protect free and fair elections across the world. Do you think that the Atlantic Council and Facebook working together is there to maintain the integrity of the elections? Or do you think that it is to shape the opinions of people leading up to the elections? I mean, so what is the digital forensic research lab of the Atlantic Council? Well, I'll tell you what it is. I'll read it straight from the website. Our mission: to identify, expose, and explain disinformation where and when it occurs using open source research to promote objective truth as a foundation of government for and by people, to protect democratic institutions and norms from those who would seek to undermine them in the digital enhancement space, to create a new model of expertise adapted for impact and real-world results, to forge digital resistance at a time when humans are more interconnected than at any point in history, by building the world's leading hub of digital forensic analysis, tracking events in governance, technology, security, and where each intersect as they occur, as well as a network of, quote, of hashtag digital Sherlocks. Digital Sherlocks. Their job is to understand disinformation. And who's going to lead this charge of understanding disinformation? Guys like James Clapper, Michael Hayden, Michael Chertoff, Henry Kissinger, Larry Summers, Madeleine Albright, and Frank Carlucci. They're going to tell you what's true. And they've got all the money in the world to make sure that that happens. This is terrifying. When you have Palantir as one of your members that's data mining the shit out of everything on this planet and providing and working almost exclusively with the State Department, 97% of their revenue comes from the State Department. And they're going to sit on they're going to be a corporate donor to the Atlantic Council, and they're going to help to decide and frame real news from fake news. Are you kidding me? This is terrifying. So you've got NATO, which is the Atlantic Council, all of the generals, all of the corporate donors that are involved. They're going to be the ones that are monitoring free speech. Just so you know, it's not going to get any better for us. But look, we're not going to end with Atlantic Council because there's more. There's way more to get to. How about the Trilateral Commission? Let's talk about the Trilateral Commission. They don't get a whole lot of play. And I'm not going to go super duper deep on this, but it was founded in 1973 by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski. Okay. For those of you that don't know, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who wrote The Grand Chessboard and In Between Two Ages and other books, his daughter's Mika Brzezinski from MSNBC, who's married to Morning Joe, you know, Joe Scarborough, who killed his intern, allegedly. Well, she wound up dead in his office. I'll tell you that much. I don't know if he killed her or not. But Zbigniew Brzezinski was one of the founders of this. And it's a link between North America, the European Union, and Japan, really. And it really focuses on finance, banking a lot. But here's their executive committee. Michael Chertoff, again, starting to notice a pattern. David Gergen. Now, David Gergen's a name that you might not really remember. He was a reporter for CNN, but I'll tell you where you might have heard his name. You ever see that video of Alex Jones with a microphone outside confronting David Gergen, asking him why he was at Bohemian Grove? And he runs away from him like a little bitch. David Gergen is on the executive committee there. Mario Monti, who is a Euro commissioner, and Paul Volcker, who used to be the Fed president. Members of the Trilateral Commission. get ready for it. I mean, it's a lot of the same names. Michael Bloomberg. That little elf is a dangerous human being. Keep an eye on him. Ash Carter, former defense secretary. Michael Chertoff again, Larry Fink from BlackRock, Henry Kissinger, Andrea Mitchell. You know, Andrea Mitchell is married to Alan Greenspan. So when you hear her talking on NBC News, just know that you're hearing the Federal Reserve talking as well. David Petraeus, Eric Schmidt, David Rubenstein. He's from the Carlyle Group as well. Bob Zoellick. PNAC, head of the World Bank. Keir Starmer, this reprehensible scumbag in the UK. So here's what the Trilateral Commission, those are some of the members, just so we're clear on how corrupt they are. And here's what they say. The Trilateral Commission is a non-governmental, policy-oriented forum that brings together leaders in their individual capacity from the worlds of business, government, academia, press and media, as well as civil society. I love that. Civil society, you do say. The commission offers a global platform for open dialogue, reaching out to those with different views and engaging with decision makers from around the world with the aim of finding solutions to the great geopolitical, economic, and social changes of our time. Its members share a firm belief in the values of rule of law. You know who also used to talk about rule of law? George H.W. Bush was upset. We're the rule of law, not the law of the jungle. Remember that? He's so obsessed with the rule of law. it's total inversion. You know, these people are all Satanists too. So just invert everything to say, okay, so its members share a firm belief in the values of rule of law, democratic government, human rights. It's fucking laughable. Freedom of speech and free enterprise that underpin human progress. Okay, so the Trilateral Commission, so basically take their mission statement, invert all of it, because none of it works, none of it is actually true. They're not interested in human rights, freedom of speech, free enterprise, or the rule of law, or democratic government. They're interested in a one-world government run by them with no rights for us, with no speech ability for free speech for us, and no free enterprise. They want the exact opposite of what they say, but this is how they work. This is how they operate. They always say, oh, you know, we want the rule of law, when they actually mean, I want to be in charge and I want to subjugate you. So it's very easy to get to the bottom of what these people are actually all about, because you just take their words and flip them exactly backwards, and then you get a pretty good idea of it. So that's the Trilateral Commission. So you don't hear too much about them, but if you do, if you hear that in the future, just be aware that their board of directors looks a whole lot like the Atlantic Council's board of directors. Like I said, this is a Venn diagram with overlapping, interlocking circles. These people are members of multiple things. And another group that plays a role in this, that I think a lot of people are starting to kind of come to terms with, is the Council on Foreign Relations. You've heard that before. You probably have heard it. I hope you've heard it, because it's a group that is, that's looking to, shape the narrative. They're looking to, they're heavily involved with the media. And now, to be fair, there's like 5,000 members of the CFR. So just being a member of the CFR doesn't make you a lizard person. You may be a lizard person, or you may be lizard adjacent, but it doesn't necessarily, you're probably getting roped in and paying the dues, like a lot of, you know, with these societies where you've got a lot of people kind of down at the bottom that don't know what the score is. They don't understand what's happening. They're paying their dues and they're part of it. And they think that they're involved in this brotherhood and all these great things. And they don't realize that the people at the top are using them. CFR is a lot like that. You've got some people that are members of it that aren't necessarily doing anything that egregious. They're wrapped up in a group that they think is going to be good for their career. And it probably is good for their career, to be fair. But I don't care enough about my career to want to join, you know, this group. So who's a member? So I made a list, and I titled it CFR members that suck. It just as an easy tagline for me to remember it. So we'll start with Elliot Abrams. You know, that guy that keeps trying to kick off wars in Venezuela and Iran, that Elliot Abrams, he's a member of the CFR. So is Max Boot. Max Boot's a journal. Well, let me rephrase that. Max Boot is a journalist in quotation marks. He's a propagandist. He's not a journalist. He's never met a war he didn't want somebody else to fight. He's also a member of the Project for a New American Century. So let that sink in. Richard Haass, John D. Rockefeller IV, Bob Rubin. Angelina Jolie. Be very careful with her. Be very careful with her. Condoleezza Rice. Tim Geithner. William McRaven. General William McRaven. All CFR members. Janet Napolitano. You remember her? If you see something, say something. That lady. That Janet Napolitano who ran DHS. Hey, Ed Snowden saw something and said something. What'd you do to him? So'd Chelsea Manning. So'd Julian Assange. They saw something and they said something. How'd that work out for them, Janet? John Paulson. Fareed Zakaria. Look, I don't know how many times I have to say this. Turn off CNN. These people are all propagandists there. Madeleine Albright. Boy, she's just everywhere. When she's not advocating for the death of 500,000 Iraqi children, she's busy at the CFR or the Atlantic Council. Hank Greenberg, AIG. David Rubenstein, again, Carlyle Group. Do you know that on the morning of September 11th, 2001, in Washington, D.C., George H.W. Bush was having a meeting with the Bin Laden family on behalf of the Carlyle Group? What are the chances that the President of the United States' father is having a meeting with Osama bin Laden's father at the same time that the 9/11 attacks happen? In what universe is that logical? It's not. Larry Fink, Thomas Glosser, again, remember, when we did the NewsGuard episode, we told you that these guys, the common thread they had was they were all CFR members. Colin Powell, Michael Hayden, NewsGuard. Scooter Libby, PNAC. L. Paul Bremer. L. Paul Bremer should have been in Marsha McLennan that morning when in the World Trade Center. But he wasn't. You know where he was? He was at NBC News, waiting in the lobby when the planes hit, because he was there to pitch the narrative that Osama bin Laden was behind this. And one of the first people to go on the news to pitch Osama bin Laden, besides Ehud Barak when he did it in the UK, was L. Paul Bremer. And he was rewarded by being put in charge of the rebuilding project of Iraq, a guy that had no business doing that. Ash Carter's also on this list. Ash Carter makes a list. He's on the Atlantic. If you're a former Secretary of State, Homeland Security Director, CIA Director, NSA Director, you're going to be on the CFR's list. You're going to be on the Atlantic Council's list. That's just how it is. That's just who they're pulling from. And much like the Atlantic Council, CFR's list of corporate funders, it's like a who's who of scumbags and horrible multinational corporations that are taking away your rights or trying to screw you over in some way, shape, or fashion. AT&T, Bank of America, Chevron, Citi, ExxonMobil, Facebook, Goldman Sachs, Google, Hess, JP Morgan Chase, Moody's, Morgan Stanley, NASDAQ, Pepsi, American Express, BlackRock, Blackstone, Bloomberg, Dell, Deutsche Bank, MasterCard, McKinsey, PayPal, Shell, Snap, Thomson Reuters. Shall we continue? Who else is funding the Atlantic or the Council on Foreign Relations? Who's opening up their checkbook? Who thinks that they need to spend money on the CFR? AIG, Amgen, Apollo Management, Leon Black's operation. You know Leon Black. You remember him. He's the guy getting allegedly blackmailed by Jeffrey Epstein. Hey, man. Hey, Leon. If you walk into a honey trap, that's on you, dummy. Boeing, Booz Allen Hamilton, BP, Covington and Burling, Eric Holder's law firm. They love to give money to the CFR. IBM, Johnson & Johnson, KKR, Lockheed Martin, Merck, Microsoft. Is it starting to make sense now? Why these affiliates, why these corporations are funding the CFR, who is in turn setting the precedent for what can and can't be said on the mainstream media? You have money flowing into it from Merck and Microsoft, Palantir, Pfizer, Raytheon, Salesforce, Silver Lake Partners, Walmart, Wells Fargo, Western Union. These corporations are contributing money to the CFR. The CFR then sets the narrative for what is acceptable to be talked about on the nightly news. They then filter this out to their partners at the mainstream media and social media, Twitter, Google, /YouTube, Facebook, Snap. They've all given money to the CFR. Does it make sense now why you can't talk about these things on Facebook? Why you can't talk about vaccines on Facebook? Because Facebook is being told by the CFR that they need to crack down on that, on any sort of discussions of vaccines being unsafe. They've announced it. They just announced that they're going to be cracking down on any sort of COVID-19 vaccine disinformation. Facebook said that. Who told them to do that? Was it their partnership with the Atlantic Council? Probably. Or was it their partnership with the CFR, who is backed by Merck, Pfizer, Amgen, Johnson & Johnson? Who's making the vaccines? These same companies, the same ones that are funding this. Don't talk about how our vaccines are dangerous. We can't have people talking about it. Well, how do we make sure that happens? How do we make sure that doesn't happen? We give money to the Council on Foreign Relations and they'll tell them for us. Oh, well done. What are the topics that the CFR discusses? Defense/security is one of them. Diplomacy. Economics. Energy and the environment. Health. Human rights, politics/government, and social issues. Now, they are the driving force for the media. The media isn't on this list. They don't put that on the list. But the CFR is heavily, heavily influences the mainstream corporate media. They get money from all the corporations too, you know. And then they set the narrative. So it's easy to be angry with Facebook and Twitter and YouTube/Google, you know, for what they've done. And you should be angry. But it's coming from organizations like this. It's coming from the German Marshall Fund. You've probably never heard of them. Unless you watched a show I did with Jason Goodman on Crowdsource the Truth, where we talked about Jeffrey Epstein's property holdings. And I let Jason know that the next door neighbor to Jeffrey Epstein in that townhome in New York City is a guy named Guido Goldman, by the way, best name ever. I think you would all agree. And I was like, who's Guido Goldman? He's the founder of the German Marshall Fund. And he's lived next to Epstein for a long, long time. And what the German Marshall Fund does is, I'll tell you who their partners are, and then you can extrapolate out. USAID, which is the CIA, Craig Newmark of Craigslist, who's a hardcore Zionist, Israel Firster, European Commission, Open Society Foundation, that's George Soros. He works heavily with the German Marshall Fund, Bank of America, British Petroleum, Microsoft, Pritzker Family Fund. The Pritzker Family Fund is interesting. You recognize the Pritzker name from being governor of Chicago, governor of Illinois. But the Pritzker family is the largest financial supporter of the trans movement. More partners at German Marshall Fund, Bayer, you know, them. Known for aspirin, also make a lot of really dangerous chemicals that go into your body and in your food. They partnered with, they merged with Monsanto. So Monsanto, essentially. Comcast, ExxonMobil, Google again, JP Morgan, Lockheed Martin again, McKinsey again, NATO, Rand Corporation, Raytheon, Boeing, U.S. State Department, HUD, Wells Fargo, and of course, the World Jewish Congress, of which Guido Goldman was the president for a while. So these groups are extremely important, and they sit off in the background where you don't get you don't see them come out to the forefront all that much. Every now and then, you'll get a video of somebody talking at the CFR. I've talked about Richard Stengel many times. He's in the Biden transition team. He used to be the chief propagandist in the Obama administration. That's what he jokingly called himself. He was the editor-in-chief of Time magazine. He's on video at the CFR talking about how he doesn't have a problem with propaganda, how propaganda is good. So every now and then you'll get a little glimpse of something from the CFR. Or the Atlantic Council, or you'll read an article in the Atlantic magazine, which is a byproduct of the Atlantic Council. And it'll be like, oh, wow, isn't this fascinating? They're propping some guy up, or they're demonizing some other guy. They're propping up Jack Dorsey. Hey, look, they're going to do a great story on Jack Dorsey, how he's really concerned about, election security and everything. Oh, Jack Dorsey gave $1 billion to fight COVID, you know, all this stuff. This is the PR firm. I mean, this is where the public relations and the hyping up of these people, putting them on pedestals, Bill Gates, Fauci. It happens through these groups. So I'm not saying don't be mad at Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube for their overt fuckery that they've been participating in for the last couple of years. I'm not saying don't be mad at them. Please do be mad at them. But also understand that this didn't arise in a vacuum. Their policies didn't come out of left field. I mean, they're set. The policies are set. When Twitter and Facebook deplatform Alex Jones at the exact same moment, that's not accidental. It's a coordinated attack. So who are they taking their marching orders from? The answer is the Atlantic Council, the German Marshall Fund, the Council on Foreign Relations, among others. But these are driving the narrative. They're the ones that are saying what is acceptable speech on YouTube. They're the ones saying, we've made the decision that the conspiracy theorists need to go. Anybody talking about the Syria conflict, anybody pointing out the obvious lies of the Syria conflict and the white helmets, they've got to go. Anybody talking about how the elections were rigged, they've got to go. Anybody, Alex Jones has to leave. Anybody on the far right, Milo's got to go. These are the people that are making the decisions for it. And they have these buffoonish lists like the Poynter Institute put out with all these websites. This is how it happens. And it provides great cover because Facebook can say, well, we didn't really make the call on this. It was really coming from the Atlantic Council. So it offers them a bullshit excuse. But, you know where it's, you know, they have to get on board with this. And so when you get frustrated by the silencing of the alternative media, the silencing of dissenting voices, and you're wondering where to place your anger, and you know that the social media companies and the video platform companies are involved in this, just please don't forget to also include these non-governmental organizations on your list of criminals, because they're very much involved in it. And they play a huge role in shaping society. If you like this episode, share button. Share it. Get it out there, please. We're growing. We want to grow more. I want to wake as many people up to this insanity as possible so that we don't make the same mistakes over and over and over again. Thank you all so much for listening. I appreciate your support. Take care.